Thank you so much. So we're at quorum, so this is great. Ben, can you do the roll call, please?
Sure. Barford. Barford not present. Bennett. Alder Bennett. Bennett not present. Carlson.
Present.
Carlson's present. Chincheck Line.
Present.
Chincheck Line is present. Alder Evers.
Here.
Alder Evers is present. Glazer.
Present.
Glazer's present. Gonzalez.
Present.
Gonzalez present. Alder Govindarajan. Govindarajan not present. Groot.
Present.
Groot is present. Iams. Iams not present. Kinderman.
Here.
Kinderman's present. King.
Here.
King's present. Luskin is excused. McKay. McKay not present. Mendez. Mendez not present. Perkins.
Present.
Perkins present. Alder Verveer.
Here.
Alder Verveer is present. Alder Vitiver.
Here.
Alder Vitiver is present. Weber and Wells are both excused. And Ziegler.
Present.
Ziegler's present. Yep, we do have quorum.
Great. Thank you. Nobody can leave early now because we're
Yeah.
on the cusp. thanks so much, Ben. First on our agenda is the approval of the January 23rd, 2025 minutes. Is there a motion?
Good move.
I'd move the approval on that.
So I heard Brenda first and John, then you're the second. Discussion
Yeah,
or
that'd be
comments
fine.
on the minutes? Seeing none. So we will assume the minutes are in order and passed unless there's an objection. Seeing or hearing none, the minutes are approved. Thank you. Any disclosures or recusals for members present tonight regarding the agenda items? Not seeing or hearing any. Next is public comment,
The
Ben.
only registrants we have are associated with item number two, the nature preserve presentation, which if we're segueing right into that, I could go ahead and rattle those off.
Good, right? Why not?
Okay. So four registrants having to do with agenda item number two, Therese Hansen, registered in support and speaking, associated with the Kubala Washotko Architects. Kelly Petty, registered in support, available to answer questions, registered in association with UW-Madison. Joseph Pepitone, registered in support, available to answer questions associated with GRAFE. And then Benjamin Schenk, registered in support, available to answer questions. So those are the four registrants.
Great, thank you so much. So we'll start with Legistar 85169. And if our presenters are available and ready to go, we can dive right in.
Thanks, Mary. Yes, I'll be sharing my screen if I can.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. All right, let me see if this works when I hit the play button. Is everyone still seeing my slideshow? Thumbs up, thank you. Okay. Thanks everyone for having us back. My name is Therese Hansen. I'm an architect with the Kubala Washotko Architects. I have my colleague Ben Schenk with me today, and we also have our landscape architect Joe Pepitone available to answer questions. I'm just going to go through these slides to give you an update on the progress of this project since we last appeared in front of this committee. Reminder of where this project is. This is lot 130. The road on this screen is University Bay Drive. As it's curving around, the access to Picnic Point is just off to the right on the screen. When we were here in front of you last, this was the site design that we had proposed. You're seeing the reconfiguration of lot 130 in the middle. The building is sort of ramping up on this side of the screen. We heard some comments that were really important for us to address when we were here last. So one of the things that was raised, I think, by a number of committee members, is there's some concern about this intersection here where traffic turning off of University Bay Drive into the parking lot, there may be a concern over safety and collisions with possible bikers crossing here and then cars making that right-hand movement. Additionally, when we're dealing with cars who are trying to exit onto University Bay Drive, they might be blocking this bike path. So this is something that you'll see we've addressed in our new site plan. Very related to that, we heard some comments about the terrace between University Bay Drive and the Temin path. Is this, you know, adequate enough? Should we be revisiting the size of this? A few things that also we heard sort of in various other meetings and committees, we understood by the time we had the pricing on our solar pergola shown here that this came in quite high and we needed to rethink about how we would incorporate solar into this building. So you'll see how we've changed that in this new design. Trying to find ways to utilize these garage roofs, we heard a comment, I think it was our design review board meeting last, that maybe we should be leveraging our garage roofs for sustainable purposes, maybe green roof. And then we also have this canopy ramp going into the preserve. However, I think as we had more conversations about this, installing a structure like this within the bounds of the preserve on the north side of this wall was somewhat at odds with the goal of this project. And while we fully intended to avoid any tree species that were highly desirable, it would certainly have an impact on the flora and fauna on the side of this. So this was eliminated from the project. Here's our revised site plan, and I'll just sort of point out a few things that have changed. So here now you're seeing that the lakeshore path has been relocated such that we can have two cars queuing without blocking that path. And it certainly gives cars that are right-hand turning into the parking lot ability to stop and look both ways for bike traffic or pedestrian traffic that are moving across the Temin path here. What this did, and it worked quite well, is give us a chance to do a very similar move as the rest of University Bay Drive, where the bioswale is located between University Bay Drive and the Temin path. So that's what you're seeing here, is that we'll just be continuing that existing regional bioswale along the north side of University Bay Drive and then bringing it over to the lake. We were able to confirm that even though we've sort of squished the parking lot in a sense, a little bit more than it was previously, that we still meet the turning requirements for both the trash and recycling, which would come in front load pickup at this location and get our fire truck in around the parking lot or into our fire lane aerial apparatus location to protect the building in the event of a fire. We've still maintained the path, the ramped path that goes up to the overlook, and you're sort of seeing its revised route here. Be more evident when we get into the renderings what that looks like. There's a number of ways to come to this site in this proposed design. So we have the Howard Temin Lakeshore path. We have sort of a more central entry point sidewalk here. We also have an entry point just west of the drive where you could come in and cross onto the sidewalk here. And then there are certainly other paths available off to the west and off to the east. So there's lots of ways we're hoping to increase our ability to bring people to the preserve in a safe manner. I'm going to switch to sort of a 3D now. You're seeing sort of an aerial 3D. And what we wanted to highlight is just sort of the location of the solar. This building's intention is to make more energy than it uses. And so we have a high degree of solar panels. So instead of that canopy walk shown previously, we've located those on a combined garage roof. In lieu of that canopy walk that I mentioned that was on the north side of the existing wall, we now terminate that into an overlook. So you can still come down. You can sort of see a hint of the stair in this rendering. You can still get down at this point, but we're sort of emphasizing it as an ability to stop and look over the wall into the preserve. So this is a sloped walk. We're hoping to keep as much of this as possible at a 1-to-20 slope, so it's gradual and easy to navigate. We may have small portions where we'll be introducing some 1-to-12 slopes, but we're hoping to keep this as meandering as possible for people to just come up and enjoy the walk to the overlook. Let me go back for just one moment. So here you're seeing the rendering looking a little bit further down from that aerial perspective to see some of the design that has remained the same in terms of our overlook covered by bifacial solar canopy. So this will allow some light through. It would be more dappled light that comes through the solar here. And then you're also seeing our stone wall, which I'll talk a little bit more about in this meeting, and some of the wood that we're using on the project, which I'll talk more about. The mass, we are still using mass timber on this building in a primary way. We have some elements of the building that will be switching to more of a conventional lumber framing to save cost, but those won't be as pronounced. We'll be certainly expressing the mass timber on the outside of the building wherever we can. This is just a view looking along the north side of the building, and you're seeing the building's relationship to the existing stone wall here, as well as the overlook. And then down at like an eye level perspective, if we had moved just a bit more west, we're still on the north side of the wall now, but we're looking towards that stair that I had mentioned and the overlook between the garages. And then this would be sort of a staff space point that they could come out and enjoy the preserve right outside of their offices. Here's that ramp that's coming up. And I think I had mentioned now the route has changed because of our new reconfiguration of the garage. The design team is working to study this. This is a lot of solar panels, and we're looking at ways that we could potentially break this mass up by changing the angle a bit and then maybe introducing a different kind of pergola at this location, which would still maintain the number of solar, would maintain the number of panels we need, but might allow this to have a little bit more of a visual break. We're just going to take a quick spin back through time. And remember, this is, I think, where we were the last time we met. So there are certainly some elements that are the same, but we've, I think, really put an intentional effort towards refining the materials, refining the scale of things, and then responding to the feedback of this committee and some of our other committees. These are some of our past renderings. This is back when the garages were separate. They are now combined. We are still working to make sure that the pathway goes in front or near the work yard, because we're trying to celebrate and really announce the presence of the people who work so diligently here in the preserve. More past renderings. This is the past floor plan. So here you're seeing those the garages separated. And then when I click, you'll see the new plan, which has those garages now combined. We're still envisioning, and everything in orange is largely space dedicated to the preserve staff, volunteers, and interns who make the preserve work today. We've got a multi-purpose room kind of in this orange color, and then the interpretive area in yellow. We're just going to speak for a couple minutes here on materials to you. It's important to us to consider with both the materials we're talking about today that they are locally sourced. A good percentage of our materials for our sustainability certification will require coming within about 500 kilometers. So for our veneer, that's a big piece that we need to consider. We're also considering the presence of the historic stone wall. And in some ways, this is almost like a historic addition project where you're dealing with something historic on site. How do you become compatible but not competitive with something like that? And then we're also trying to consider the fact that we have a high degree of R value in our wall assembly. So this is quite a thick wall. So understanding how these stones will return in these window recesses here. Just a reminder of just the beauty of the stone wall that's there today. There's an excellent document on the preserve's website that goes through all the different types of stone that you'll find. These are all glacial erratics that the glaciers brought from Canada and then just sort of left here. And that's an important consideration when we talk about the potential stones we would use. So in thinking about the potential stones for this wall, the first option we considered would be just like what's locally resourced here is limestones. And so this would be an option to look at a quarried limestone, but maybe in something more of like a mosaic or a web wall fashion, which tries to harken back to somewhat of the more random patterning within the wall itself. This didn't quite feel right to us. It felt like the scale was kind of a near miss and that we were trying to maybe be too much like that wall. So then we decided to look more to becoming a glacial erratic wall ourselves. And so in this option, you're looking at larger glacial erratics, which we would be able to stack up in a pattern. We felt like this was getting closer, but again, the scale felt like it was maybe too similar to this wall. And so this last option we'll show you is the option that we feel has the most promise, that we really like the direction this is beginning to go, which would be a much smaller glacial erratic, which is beginning to speak to the nature of this wall as a wall that is sourced from that stones that we find on the land. That's also important for our carbon considerations here. We are finding the stone on the land instead of harvesting it from below the ground, which is really helpful when we're thinking about the sustainability of this building. here's just a sense of the kind of rocks that could be in this wall. So Birchwood Cobbles is actually our bedrock here, but it's been rounded by glaciers. The fieldstone cobbles are the same ones that you would find in the existing wall today. And this is just a split version of those so that we can get some of the other shapes that you're seeing in here. The other main material here is wood. We're talking about locally thermally modified wood. And so again, we're looking at this for a few reasons. Thermally modified wood is essentially baked in a sense. It's heated up to a very high degree, which changes the sugars and it really densifies the wood. So it's very highly resistant to rot, decay, and fungus. It's very dimensionally stable. Again, because the pores have changed, there's a lot of insect resistance. There's not a great degree of porousness for the insects to go in. And then importantly for us, it's chemical free. There's not a maintenance schedule. There's no routine here. It's very stable. However, very notable is that this will patina. And we like that about this material. We think that this is a really great material for this project where we can indicate the passage of time. So here you're seeing an example of how thermally modified wood silvers as the years go by. So you're seeing kind of the original color on the insides of these window recesses, and then on the outside, the silvering that occurs. This is probably, depending on the solar exposure, maybe anywhere from like a 3 to 7 year process to which the wood would begin to silver. And at the bottom, you're seeing how different species change over time. What's most important to us is identify the stone that we're using, and then that'll help us select our final species for the wood. We're thinking we're going to be in this mid-range though. And here's just some examples in the Midwest. This is used frequently in the Midwest. Some Wisconsin and Minnesota projects are shown here, and that's mostly because it does perform so well in our conditions. Because we're doing such a significant reconfiguration here, we're moving a road, we're moving a parking lot, we're really given an opportunity to take what is currently a rather degraded landscape and start fresh. So we're seeing this as an opportunity for the landscape of the preserve and the language of the preserve to come into the site today. You're seeing some images on the side here where we're envisioning taking cues from Picnic Point and other stones on within the preserve, which would help guide us to the landscape materials to be used within the gathering areas. And I know you can't read this slide, but this is the planting plan here that you're seeing, the landscape plan. And you're seeing a number of indicators here that are suggesting we're bringing trees that are native to the preserve into this site to help it feel more embedded in part of the preserve. You're seeing a series of different types of native plantings. It's really important to us that native plantings are used here, so we aren't using any cultivars or improved cultivars. We're really focusing on being able to use the types of plants that are local to this place and can provide and support pollinators and birds in this area. Just a couple of highlights in terms of we're really carefully tracking where quality species trees are and where invasive trees are. There's a number of invasive trees that would be removed as part of this project because of the building's locations, but it would be a goal of the preserve to have those species removed anyhow because of the invasive quality of some of the tree species we have in the preserve today. Just last two things, our sustainability update here. We are registered for CORE certification through the Living Building Challenge now. We would be potentially the second CORE certified building in the state. It producing more energy than it consumes. We'll demonstrate more than a 20% reduction in the embodied carbon of the materials. There's a huge hydrology component here that we've really been working towards ensuring that all stormwater is treated here on site. I think I had mentioned before a high percentage of locally sourced, so that's Wisconsin-based materials. And anytime we're using wood, we have to have a high percentage, over 50% of FSC certified wood. Notably, we'll be using rainwater off our solar panels to flush the toilets in the building. And then our last slide in here was just to give an update of our primary donor, the Frouchy. So Jerry Frouchy, the Frouchy Center name is being shown here in a couple potential locations. And so this is the university is working on giving our generous donor an update in terms of the potential naming location for this building. Thank you for your time. I'll stop here and I'll look forward to your comments.
Any questions from committee members? John and then Janine and then Doug.
I just want to say that I like the added space between the University Bay Drive and the parking lot to minimize bicycle conflicts there. I thought that was a good addition. And I also was I was happy to see how the stone wall turned out, given that you're viewing different options there, and the smaller erratics I thought would seem to work a little bit better with the existing stone wall that you have out there on the site.
Thank you.
And Janine, you're up.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add a couple of notes for context for where this is in the process for the team here. So this was last that joined Campus Area Committee back in September of last year. It recently went to Design Review Board in February or last Tuesday, and I've had a great conversation with the Design Review Board, and I think it was positive. So they were really kind of starting to narrow in on details and materials. So I think that's a good thing. And then today, the project is asking for a referral to Design Review Board. They would go back to the Design Review Board then in, I think we're looking now at April, looking for final approval then. So just repeating, I believe the team is asking for a referral to Design Review Board. Thank you.
So is it a referral or a recommendation? I thought it was a recommendation. Oh. Sorry.
Recommendation. Thank
you. Thanks. And Doug.
Thanks. I won't delay that recommendation very long. I want to compliment you on the thought that you've put into this and the changes that you made. I think you've listened to some feedback and made some very appropriate changes. It's a great design. I just wanted to note briefly on the possible garage roof redesign. If you change that angle to make it much flatter, you may lose some of your solar output and therefore might jeopardize your net zero. So I just encourage you to give a look at the solar component of the option on that garage angle before you make the final design.
Thanks so much.
And John, your hand's up again.
Yeah, I was going to mention the angle of the solar panels, but Doug beat me to it. That the other question I had is regarding the, it sounds like there's still a few items that are still in flux here, and I'm wondering which items could still potentially change after it leaves here, if we were to leave it, pass a recommendation for approval to the Design Review Board.
Maybe I'll just go back up to one of the threes so that we can look kind of, I think so one of the things that we had started with this roof design, and then we had started to look at modifying the slope of this roof, and all really good comments about watching the solar exposure and making sure that we're not compromising that. We had shown in one of our renderings an option for a solar trellis. And I think one of the comments we received last week at the Design Review Board is that trellis, and maybe I'll just quick go to that slide so we're all looking at the same thing here. That solar trellis seemed to them a bit out of context. And so they were encouraging us to look at what would we envision if this was removed. So I think the direction for us is to evaluate where this solar could live, because we'll still need this solar. It may change this roof angle slightly so that we could get a little bit more solar on this roof. And I think then there also would probably be a little bit more solar on the main roof. So that's one item that would possibly very likely be different. The other consideration that the design team is studying right now is this ramp element. So right now there's quite a bit of a berm, and we're looking at what point do we need to be retaining. And we think with the design in front of you today, there's probably a lot of retaining needed for this. And so we're wondering if there may be a better option where we still ramp up a little bit on a berm, but then we might switch to something either on posts or potentially just a bridge at this location, so that we don't need to use such a significant retaining element on the backside of this bridge, or on the backside of this berm, I should say.
And so when you say retaining, that's some sort of retaining wall structure to keep the dirt from sliding out?
That's correct. Yep. That we need to make sure that we sort of keep this where it's at and allow the water that's coming off of the hill in the preserve to make its way to the bioswale.
All right. So at this point, it's mainly the ramp configuration and the solar panel/garage roof that is still potentially in flux.
That's right. Yep. And then sort of the finalization of the stone color and size. But I think to your point, I think everybody feels that we're going in the right direction with that smaller scale. So it's a refinement of the exact types of stone that make up that pattern.
Okay.
Any other questions of committee members? Any comments from non-committee members on the call? Okay. So as requested, is there a motion for a recommendation to move this forward to the Design Review Board?
I'm in place of motion that we recommend the Design Review Board approve the design as presented.
Great. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Thanks, Doug. Any discussion? Last call, any discussion? Okay, seeing none, we will take this as an affirmative unless there is objection from anybody. And not seeing any. So then the motion passes to recommend to the Design Review Board. Thanks, everyone. And thanks to the team. Appreciate seeing this all again, too.
Thank you, Mary. And thanks, everyone on the committee, for your comments. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your recommendation.
Great. Thank you. So moving on to discussion items, Legistar 51256. I don't know. We've been kind of back and forth on this. We've had it where we should review it ahead of time and ask questions, or staff goes through it. I think it'd be nice if we could settle on one way or the other so we're consistent. I don't know if Janine or Scott have any comments about that.
I'm happy to just kind of answer any questions. You know, I'll report on anything that it might be a major change or major update, but otherwise I can just leave it open for questions.
Great, thanks. So I had heard
Chair, just briefly, quick update on the couple of road closures on University by the CDIS. Know that the Levy Hall will be closed for a while. Anything opening or anything closing in the next month or two?
Might ask Hayden to speak to that. You want to mention any recent updates?
Regarding CDIS closure, that it should be wrapping up here, I believe, in June. So they should be picking all that stuff up, all the barrels. But as for additional closures, should be the same the next month.
Great. Thanks, Aiden.
And John.
I was wondering about the engineering drive utility project, as far as we should be expecting any changes or closures along North Randall, and when?
I can speak to that again, Janine. So come after commencement, there's going to be a full closure of Randall Avenue, kind of by Engineering Drive, but you will still be able to access Engineering Drive from the north side.
Okay, and then what are there expected to be any closures anytime soon along Monroe Street with the shell removal replacement project?
None that I've heard of. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mostly contained. Thanks.
Any other questions regarding project status? Okay, we're going to have a lightning meeting here tonight. Moving on, Legistar 66581 from Mike, and he's not here. So I'm guessing this is just an update from last month's pretty much. Let's go on to Legistar 51257 and Ben.
Yeah, I'll make this pretty quick. I have a few items related to city updates. 210 Bernard Court is a UW request to demolish a three-unit building that they own, grade that site, and apply seed to establish cover. Landmarks Commission found no known historic value for the site, and it's going to be held for future development, already zoned campus institutional, planned for, I believe, the March 17th Plan Commission meeting for consideration there. 406 North Francis Street, this is an application for a conditional use to establish a nightclub at Jay's, which is the former Red Shed. Also, March 17th Plan Commission meeting. 623 North Lake Street, I mentioned this a few times before, it's a project to add a unit and a 10-bedroom lodging house to a previously approved conditional use. Was delayed from the February 17th Plan Commission meeting to the March 3rd Plan Commission meeting next week. North Midvale Boulevard resurfacing from Mineral Point to University Avenue, delayed likely from this summer, fall to spring of next year for engineering and TE staff to develop some additional options for discussion consideration. Southwest Pass, a lighting study has been requested from Traffic Engineering east of Randall Avenue. If it's decided that any lighting would be appropriate, a budget amendment would be needed to implement that. So possibly some updates on that forthcoming at future meetings. And that is all I have. Happy to take any questions.
And John, and then Doug.
Regarding the Southwest Path lighting, it's Randall going, or sorry, east of Randall, but going how far is being considered in that study?
Let me just double check the map here. I would believe it would be to either Park Street or the Cole Center. I'm not 100% sure on the full analysis. It's still kind of in Traffic Engineering's upcoming work plan to try to get that done. So don't have the terminus of that study.
All right. And then you've heard nothing more about the Southwest Path crossing at West Washington, as far as any changes that might be coming there?
To my knowledge, that was at TC. And TC had recommended that it kind of have some further study about trying to make the current configuration with the barrels narrowing the lanes down to one lane, make that permanent. And so I'm not sure what the very latest is on that, because I do know that we need to report back to the Office of the Railroad Commissioner on what the city is going to propose for solutions for that site. And so I'm not sure what the design that we'll be proposing back to that office is going to be at this stage.
Okay, thanks.
Doug, and then Mike.
Thanks. I guess I'm over-caffeinated with my amount of comments tonight. Ben, I'm going to allow you to kind of segue into something here that you'd mentioned about the Bernard Court, where it was found to have no significant historical value. Therefore, it's going to head to Plan Commission next. As of Tuesday night, I don't think that's any longer required. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there have been some changes to the demolition procedure. I don't know if that will cause this in-progress project to be removed from the scheduled agenda or not, actually. It could be that projects submitted under the ordinance as it currently stands will continue to go through. Perhaps Elder Revere, you know a little bit more on that. I don't know if that's why you're raising your hand. Definitely feel free to jump in now.
I can jump in. I raised my hand to provide additional information to John's question about the Southwest Path.
Okay. I can check on the demo and what the status is kind of with the ordinance change happening midway through that process.
Yeah, and I'm fine with it, Ben. I was just using that as an opportunity to note that there have been some changes made to that process now. So no follow-up required.
Okay.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks, Mary. I'll just, as I said, I have additional information about John's question, but I will just say on Doug's question a moment ago, my read of the ordinance amendment that we adopted Tuesday night in this regard at the council would be effective upon publication as a legal notice in the Wisconsin State Journal or official newspaper of record. I don't remember seeing a delayed effective date when I reviewed the legislation, but as it relates to what legal counsel would say if we're in the midst of applications, as was the case with UW, I don't know how that will be treated, but typically it would become effective within a couple weeks. So that's that one. What I do know a lot more about is the Southwest Commuter Path and the Office of the Commissioner Railroad orders relating to the rectangular rapid flashing beacons needing to be removed at both West Wash and, for that matter, although getting away from campus here, North Shore Drive. So the agenda item will return to the Transportation Commission at their next meeting on Wednesday, March 5th. At that meeting, I believe that you will see the Traffic Engineering Division staff recommending that the TC approve plan to submit to OCR, which is due, as Ben correctly said, at the end of March. And that plan would be to remove the RRFB at a future date and install a traffic signal there at West Wash and the Southwest Path. Ben was also very correct in saying the consensus at TC when this was brought to them as an informational item about a month ago now was that there was a clear consensus to reduce the traffic lanes on West Wash down to one in each direction, make the test, which started the day after Labor Day, permanent. Staff is still uncomfortable recommending that at this time because of concerns about future congestion over the next couple of years as part of the John Nolan Drive reconstruction and the causeway being closed during certain phases of that reconstruction project. So it seems like perhaps a likely outcome will be keep the test, the barrels, the arrows up indefinitely. But if when the causeway reconstruction begins in October of this year and then lasts for about 2 years, that they'll have the opportunity to perhaps open up back to the original two lanes in each direction there if needed for traffic congestion reduction. But again, by that time, if staff proposal is approved and the railroad commissioner approves this, there would be a traffic signal there to aid pedestrians and bicyclists utilizing the Southwest Path. I don't know if any of you care about North Shore Drive as much since it's further from campus, but I'll just add a sentence on that and say that there are a couple options there. Both would look at relocating the RRFB or the installing an actual complete traffic signal at the intersection of South Bedford Street and North Shore Drive. So it would be complying with the OCR order and removing the rectangular rapid flashing beacon and moving that closer to the intersection of, or on the intersection, I should say, of Bedford and North Shore.
Great, thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
You bet. Any other questions? Well, we are at the end of our time. At least the agenda. So our next meeting is March 27th, and that's via Zoom, I recall. Or are we in person? Oh, April, we're in person. So a motion to adjourn is in order.
You're so moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thanks, Regine. Otherwise, we'll sit here all night. So we are adjourned. Thank you so much for everybody for your gift of time and enjoy the, well, daylight still here. Mm-hmm. Take care. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.